Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, the man you're about to hear from has seen more corners of the globe and had more astonishing experiences along the way than possibly anybody else on Earth. I know that's a quite a tough call, but I think after you hear his story, you're going to agree. His name is Arthur Blessett, the man who spent 40 years carrying a 4-meter-long wooden cross to every nation of the world. His journey, which is in the Guinness Book of Records, took him from the nightclubs of Hollywood to the jungles of South America, from the top of Mount Fuji to the shores of the Dead Sea. It took him into war zones and into isolated communist nations. And along the way, he prayed with humble villagers, army troops, world leaders. He healed the sick. He preached to crowds of 500,000 people. He's eaten squid ink, monkey leg and rat soup. He's been attacked by wild animals, stoned and beaten, arrested and jailed. He's even faced a firing squad. So I come back to that phrase again. I think you've got to say this is one of the most amazing stories around. And Arthur Blessett is with us now. Arthur, welcome to Open House.
Hey, thank you so much. That sounds really like a legend. I got tired listening to you talk. I was thinking,
it's kind of exhausting.
Yeah, and I remember that terrible meal of monkey leg, and I remember that jungle, and I remember this. And I am now 69 years old, and I don't have an ache or a pain, and I never felt better in my life. And it's incredible to have walked 1.5 times around the world at the equator. I mean, over 38,102 miles when I actually completed every major inhabited island group and nation. And Jesus has done it, and all glory to God. Yeah. And I love the Lord, and I love people. It's listed in the Guinness Book of Records as the world's longest walk, but that wasn't my purpose. It was to share the love of God.
Yeah, well, I want to get into that. You came to Christian faith pretty early on, didn't you? You're 7 years of age?
When I was 7 years old, a traveling evangelist shared Christ with me, and I prayed, and I felt Jesus in my life, and it's been that way now for, 62 years.
Yeah, and your family were all people of faith, too?
My dad was what you would call a binge drinker or a chronic alcoholic. Once he would start to drink, he would just keep drinking till he was drunk. We had a cotton plantation, so it didn't affect his business, so to speak, but his personal life, carrying scars from World War II. We'd be going to get a part for a tractor, and we would stop. I'll just go in for just a beer, and I'll be back in a little bit. And hours later, it'd be dark, and I would go in, and I'd go to sleep and pull up 2 or 3 chairs. And many times my dad would make me carry a tire wrench under my shirt if he got in a fight. Mm-hmm. I saw the worst, and I saw a beautiful man, and yet he was struggling. And I was sharing Christ, giving out little gospel pamphlets about Jesus in the bars. From the time I was 4 years old when he came back from the war until I was 13, and one night he came in drunk, and I said, like I had many times, Dad, why don't you kneel and let's pray and give your life to Jesus? And he said, okay, and get Mama and your sister, and we prayed with him, and my dad got up a new man, and it gave me a compassion for people who are hurting, people who are outside the walls of the church. We're beautiful people, but they're struggling with one pain, one hurt, one heartache, one heartbreak. And I feel that my mission in life has been to be like an ambulance crew, an emergency crew, going out on the roadsides and highways with those whose lives have crashed and saying, God loves you. There's hope. That's the sign of the cross. Jesus loves you. Come to him.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense then to the fact that in 1968, you're running this Christian coffee house on Hollywood's notorious Sunset Strip, and then you decide to make this 12-foot-high, 4-meter-high cross to hang on the cafe wall, and then you sense that God's saying, take it out into the streets.
Yes, and I didn't want to make a cross. I had never worn a cross. Never had one hanging on the car dash, never had one by the bed. I believed that Jesus died on the cross and that he died, but I wasn't really so attracted to that symbol. But I felt his call, make that big life-size cross and put it on the wall, put a floodlight on it, and I would speak under the cross every night at midnight And then I felt him carry it down Sunset. And I would walk a few hundred meters down the street, and we'd give out sandwiches to the hungry kids, and that was during the hippie time, and then come back. So I did short walks, and then in 1969, I felt one night I was praying, and Jesus said, take the cross off the wall, put it on your shoulder, and carry it across America. Identify my message where the people are. And I said, when do you want me to leave, Lord? And I felt it was Christmas Day. And 2 weeks before I left, I had a brain aneurysm. I was in Glendale Adventist Hospital, seeping blood hemorrhage in the brain, and I had partial paralysis on the right side and difficult to speak and to walk and move and whatever. And I knew that Jesus had called me to leave on Christmas Day, and I thought I'd rather die in the will of God than live outside of it. And Christmas morning, 69, took the cross off the wall, started down Sunset Boulevard to die, walking across America, and never dreaming that this was going to be my life and destiny. But after a few days on the road, I knew that the road was home for me. And so after walking across America, and then it was to go to Northern Ireland, and I went over there in the middle of that war in 1971, then continuing to carry the cross zone by zone as I felt the call of God. But in 1968, I felt that I was to complete every nation before the year 2000. So North Korea was the last nation. The nation before that was Saudi Arabia, and the one before that was Iraq. So that was quite a closing act. And
all the typical tourist destinations, really.
my wife and I sat down in China after coming out of North Korea with a 12-foot cross, and that had completed the journey, and we were going to have a big Chinese dinner and celebrate. And suddenly I felt like the Lord saying, now every island group. and so it took 10 years to do that.
Yeah, just when you thought your job was done, you were given a brand new commission. This is Open House right across the nation. Arthur Blessed is with us as you're hearing his story. He's walked this 4-meter-long cross right around the world, even to the little islands. A pretty amazing story. Theopenhouse.net.au is where you can catch the podcast if you want to pass it on to somebody else. Arthur, we could talk about so many of those little trips that you did and the amazing experiences that you had. We could talk about getting into those communist nations, like I said, North Korea. Or what about Cuba? We could talk about you walking the streets of Israel with the cross, where, of course, Jesus walked, or going to the USSR after the fall of communism. We could be here for days. Let's just touch on a couple of those, again, more dramatic, well, they've all been dramatic, but maybe most dramatic stories. Germany in 1989, you're there just after the Berlin Wall came down. I believe that was a pretty amazing experience.
Yes, and there were demonstrations in Leipzig, East Germany, and there were 300,000 people that were gathering on Monday nights protesting for the fall of communism. My son Joshua and I went and got through the border. I mean, those are long stories. But anyway, and arrived carrying the cross, had met a girl and her boyfriend, and she spoke English, and she said she'd interpret. And we arrive at the back of this crowd at Karl Marxstadt Plaza, and there's 300,000 people standing body to body. And I wanted to get up to the front and lift the cross up, but there was no way through that crowd. So my motto is, if ever in doubt, just preach. And so I stood there, and I knew that only a few people could hear, but I said, I've come from walking around the world to stand with you. And all these men, like miners, tough guys all around me, and they looked, and the girl interpreted the words. And when she said that, they grabbed the cross, and I couldn't, and they started pulling it and ripped it out of my arms. And for the first time, my cross, I saw it now being passed through the crowd, hand over hand. And there was a growing cheer and roar through that crowd, and I would leap up and see. And I finally got to the girl, and I back, and this was chaos around me, and I said, What is happening? And they're saying, they said, to the front, lift it up, lift it up. And they wanted the cross at the front of that crowd. And that was after decades of atheistic communism. And I saw finally that cross rise up above that crowd, and a roar came, and it was awesome. And then we marched through the streets, but it was like you can rule over people, but you can't control what they believe in their heart. Yeah. And it was one of those dramatic moments that the cross became the focal point of what you would think would be completely the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, an amazing experience. Northern Ireland in the 1970s for you must have been pretty amazing too, because you were there right in the middle of the Troubles.
Right. It was. I went over first in 1971. I went over actually twice in 71. And I was doing an interview on Sunset Boulevard after having walked across America, and BBC was had come over there, and they were doing an interview on Sunset with me there with converted bikers and prostitutes and everything. And the interviewer, after hearing their testimonies, he said, "You ought to try this out in Northern Ireland." And he laughed, and I laughed, and then I couldn't shake it. It was like, go there. Uh-huh. There's a need. And so then I would walk around from one side to the other. The British troops arrested me. Drove up with these big, what the Catholics would call the pig, that big armor patrol vehicle, and they stuffed me in the back with another guy that was with me and took me to the military compound, and they were interrogating me. They thought it maybe I had a bomb stuck in the cross, and because I'd go up to the British pillboxes and I was going from side to side, and they called the chaplain to see what he comes in and he says, "What's your name?" And I said, "Arthur Blessett." He said, "Oh," he said, "I've seen you on the news. I read one of your books." He said, he may get killed, but he's harmless. He's not going to hurt anybody. And they said, in the final, they said, "You're free to go." And I said, "I don't know where I am. Take me back to my cross." And they said, "Well, if you open that, you know, we open that door, the sniper's up there," and this was when there was no-go areas that the IRA had. They said, "They'll just open fire, you know, into that vehicle." I said, "Well, live or die, take me back to my cross." And they opened the door, and I jumped out, and there were about 75 or 100 children from the Catholic school that had gathered around my cross that had been left on the roadside. And so now I was the hero, you know, the Brits had arrested me, and then I was free, and I was it was really wild. And then Billy Graham called in 1972. I went back to Northern Ireland a third time and said, "I want you to take me in to meet IRA leaders," and I took Billy Graham, and there's actual photos of that in his autobiography and on my website at blessed.com. But I took him in, and we walked the streets together, and we went in and shared with these people.
And then there's Nicaragua in 1978, where you're actually in front of a firing squad.
Well, I don't know how we could talk for days on these things. I'll have to give a thumbnail briefing, and because it's too much. I had a parrot that I named El Salvador del Mundo, the savior of the world, had got in El Salvador, and I was teaching him Spanish. And that way I was learning Spanish. And I was going to teach my parrot how to preach and then turn him loose in the jungle. And all through the jungles would be Gloria a Dios, Jesucristo es mi Salvador. And he would teach the other parrots. And that was the great missionary plan.
What a beautiful idea.
And so I had a guy teaching me Spanish, and I came through Leon, Nicaragua, and the fighting, and it was very terrible, death and destruction and chaos. And I came up to our vehicle that had a driver and this other guy, and I came up to the vehicle, and they were pale-faced, and they said, "El Salvador is dead." And I said, "What?" And they said, "Well, we had so many mosquitoes, we sprayed mosquito spray, and your parrot overdosed and died." Mm. And I cried and I cried, and I buried the parrot, and I walked down the road, and finally it was dark, and the vehicle was there. And I said, "Let's spend the night." People came up and said, "You can't do it. This chaos, the terrorism, the you'll be killed tonight." Some said it was the government, some said it was the Sandinistas, but whoever, there was terrorism on the highway. And I said, "No, we're sleeping here, I'm not running." And 2 o'clock in the morning, bam, on the door, and I open the door, and there's gunmen there. And the short story is, as I leave out of the little trailer caravan behind our four-wheel drive, I grab the truck keys because I thought, well, maybe they just want to rob us, and you can take the truck and go. And they stood me near the truck, and there were about 7 gunmen with pistols and rifles, and they said, we're going to kill you. And I had the keys in my hand. I knew there were a box of Bibles on the truck seat. I thought, if I'm going to die, and the cross was on the other side, I'm going to just grab a Bible. And I just turned and stuck the key in the door, opened the door, grabbed the box of Bibles. And the gunmen, they were standing around trying to pull me up from the shoulders. And finally, there was no one. I tore the top off, grabbed a Bible, and was still alive. I took an armload of Bibles to give them one, looked up, and nobody was there. Looked about 15 feet in front of me, and there were about 6 laying on the ground. One guy was laying in the door of the caravan with his feet sticking out. And I go up and I say, Un quiero una Biblia, do you want a Bible? Agua, do you want some water? Like days, they get up, they run, jump on the truck. There were 2 gunmen on the truck that were covering them, and boom, it drives away. My friend Don Price and Mike Uten still live. Today they don't work for me. Don Price is a veterinarian doctor, and he said he could hear the sound of meat hitting meat like a barroom fight. And Mike, they heard, like the air being knocked out. And that's when they saw the gunman fall by and the one guy fall in. And I said, no, they thought I was using karate. And I said, I don't know anything like that. I said, and the people in the village gathered at the door, and they were saying God was here. There was a bright light. God was here. And the next day, let me just add this, the next day as I was walking in this dramatic scene, and you're still in a country of civil war, honestly, that astounding miracle, but I was sort of disappointed. I said, I thought I was going to die, and I, you know, and this is it. The next moment, I'm going to be seeing Jesus. And it was like the Lord was saying, you're not getting out of it this easy. There's a lot more miles to walk and a lot more countries to go. So you just keep on hiking it, man. And so, it's living life one step at a time. People say, well, why haven't all these people in Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan or Pakistan killed you? How can you go through with a big 12-foot cross? Because I say the cross is like a big flag. It's God saying, I love you. And at the cross, the worst of man met the best of God. And there's good news. There's hope. There's salvation. And so as a result, I mean, I've been with people like Yasser Arafat and Gaddafi. It's incredible the response from every group because they can identify with this man, Jesus, who came from heaven to earth, where God got in the flesh and the dirt and the hurt and the pain of this world and shed his blood and rose again, that whoever calls on him can know him.
This is Open House right across the nation. Arthur Blessett is with us. His story has been told in books and most recently in the DVD movie called The Cross. He actually carried that 4-meter, 12-foot long cross right around the world. It's an amazing story as you're hearing so many episodes of it right now. There will be some who are listening going, okay, let me get this straight. This guy kind of knocks together 2 bits of wood and puts a little wheel at the end of it and carries it around the world. What's that about? I mean, what did you see your actions achieve in the lives of people? What have you seen happen as a result of you doing this journey over the last 38, 40 years?
Well, the first thing is that it is the call of obedience. I feel like, well, I know this is what God called me to do. And so my obedience sent me on to countries that I thought that I would die in. And I have encountered people, I have truck drivers, just say. I mean, and you can see the light come on. And the same thing happened when I went through Australia, and you're walking those rock sides on the highway, all those, and you see the tail light come on, and here's a big truck pulls over, and you get up there with the cross, and the guy looks at you, and tears are in his eyes, and he says, "Hey, I don't want to even tell you my name, but I need to talk to somebody." Mm-hmm. And you represent God. You represent, you've got the cross. And they open their heart. And then you just apply the love of Jesus Christ, that he cares for you, mm-hmm. that you can open your life and invite him to come in. Jesus is sinner friendly. He's got a full-time job, and that job is making intercession for us. He cares for you. And you grab that big hand of that man, and you pray with him. And he leaves with a smile on his face. And years later, and I'm sitting here in front of my computer with answering email and on my Facebook site, and people are from all over saying, "My life was changed." Mm-hmm. You go out to a little village in Tanzania, and this guy, when you're going down the road, and this guy's saying, "Come over to my village." I said, "Hey, man, I'm just walking this road. I'm walking across Africa. I can't turn and go down every other road." And he said, you must, you know, and he's insisting. And it's just off the road, just 10 minutes, but, you know, just a little bit. Finally, okay, and then you walk for hours way back up in the jungle, and you get there, and there's nothing to eat but two eggs, and they are giving you the eggs, and the people are hungry. And "I don't want to eat the eggs. Let the kids have the eggs." "No, you're our guest." Mm-hmm. And out of that man and out of that village, there's now 1,000 churches operating in Tanzania.
Oh, boy.
And so you just see the transformation, and I'm not talking about politics, but I was in Midland, Texas, and that's when I was there carrying the cross, and I was speaking at Chaparral Center, and Jim Sale comes up to me and says, "Arthur, would you, a man wants to see you in the morning and talk with you about Jesus." And I said, "Well, tell him to come to the meeting. I'm speaking at a high school and a business club and something else that day and everything." He said, "Well, he's the vice president's son, and he doesn't want to come there to the meeting." And so we had breakfast the next morning. I met him like less than 1 minute of just greeting, and he looks at me and says, "How can I know and follow Jesus?" And I said, "Well, if you died, where would you spend eternity?" And he said, "Well, if I knew, I wouldn't be calling on you." I said, "Well, let me share. I'll share Jesus." I shared with him the love of Christ and how Jesus died for him and rose again, and he could invite him into his heart. And I said, "If you want to do that, take my hand and pray this prayer." And he did, and that was George W. Bush. And he just asked Jesus into his heart. And Jim Sale was his friend, oil man friend. And Bush leaves, and he calls Don Pogue. And the reason I'm using these names is because they still live in Midland, Texas. And he called Don and said, "Don, I found Jesus. You need him too." And Don came over, and I led him to Christ, and they started Bible study groups and stuff. But you never know. I mean, I remember being in Carabas in the Pacific. People were hanging in the trees so they could get high enough to see the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu. There were thousands lining the way from the airport all the way into town, and I didn't know one person. It's going into the wars. It's going into Beirut, Lebanon, walking through two blocks of landmines between the Israeli army and the Palestinians and the Syrians and the PLO and the Falangists. And here comes Yasser Arafat to greet me. And that's filmed by Peter Arnett of CNN. But let me just say this. Here's the thing. The way you'd introduced me on that, you're talking about this guy just grabbing a cross, walking out. That was 1968, the first walk. But 69, I walk out of Hollywood. 40 years later, now they think I'm a crazy, psyched out hippie. 40 years later, I come back for the premiere of the movie, The Cross, at Grenman's Chinese Theater, the most famous movie theater in the world. 1,000 people packing it out of Hollywood people. They block off of Hollywood Boulevard as thousands of people are out in front to welcome the cross on the red carpet back. After 24 times in jail, after wars and deserts and jungles, it is just bigger than life.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely incredible that people are interested and that you're calling me from Australia and we're telling these stories.
Yeah, isn't it? It's been an amazing life. And like you said, it's all because you followed the call of God and you're obedient to that. Before we let you go, I'm really keen to hear about your trips in Australia. The first one was in 1976, Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra, Melbourne. You came back in 1979, then in 2000 you came back to do Perth, Tasmania, and then the smaller islands. Tell me about some of the most memorable moments you had while on those three trips.
On the first one. and I may have the word off. I'd have to look at my website to refresh my brain on it. But it was it was in Melbourne, and I believe the name of the place was The Gentle Touch. It was a massage parlor, and I had seen it as I walked by, and that night I went back, and I knocked at the door, and I said I wanted to come in and talk about Jesus, and this guy comes to the door, and he said, he doesn't have his teeth in, he doesn't have any teeth in, he said, get out of here, we don't need that. And I said, well, I'm carrying the cross around the world. And he said, you're not doing it. You're not carrying a cross. You're crazy. You're just trying to get in for free. And he ran me off. And so I went back, and I got my cross, and I walked back, and I rang the doorbell again. And now as they open the door, I kind of step halfway in, and there's my cross in the middle of the door. and so there I am standing, and he looks at me, and he says, it's a blank to blank. You a crawl. No, bring it on in. Just bring it on in. I believe his name was Jim Kelly, and I became good friends with him, and we had dinner together and everything. And I was sharing, and then I left. That was 1969, and he was shot and killed in 1977 at his door. But it was that welcome that he had. And in my walk across Australia, the people were interested in where you've been, where you're going, the very adventurous side. You meet Australians everywhere in the world. They take off a year, I think everybody does, and travels the world. They would ask me where I'd been and what I was doing, and then I would weave into it the message of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they'd say, well, okay. But how was the food over somewhere? and so I found a wonderful welcome in the churches and the people and the island groups. But I don't know.
Sadly, though, I noticed in some of the research we were doing that one of your coldest receptions was actually in Sydney, out of all the places you've been.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Well, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, we want to hear the truth.
Yeah, it is the truth. It was on a rainy, drizzly day, cold, and I arrived downtown, and I'm going. I forget now where I had a place to spend the night, but I needed to take a taxi or something over there. But I needed to leave my cross in the middle of town, and then I would go over and stay with these people. So I see a big church right there in the middle of Sydney, and I go there and I ask if I can leave my cross, and they get the vicar or the pastor or whatever, and he comes in and what religion are you? What are you? I said I'm walking across Australia. I don't want any money. I don't need anything. I just need to put my cross in the building, and I'll come back in the morning and take it.
Mm.
And it was just, no.
Yeah.
No. Just go. Get out of here.
Mm.
And it was really, really heartbreaking. But I have to say this, since we're into the truth episode and walking around the world, over half the time when you finish a day and you need to leave your cross somewhere to spend the night, to leave it so you can go somewhere else to sleep, over half the time the churches turn you away.
Why is that?
What brand are you?
Yeah.
What group are you with?
Yeah.
You're looked at totally skeptical carrying a cross.
Mm.
But I've never been turned away from a bar.
There you go.
If there is a bar or a tavern, you can just walk over. And usually people are at the door standing there and say, where's the manager of this place? I need to leave my cross overnight. I'm going to spend the night down the road, and I'll come back in the morning. Bring it on in. And I say, but I need to get it at 7 o'clock in the morning to walk on. Okay. And somebody gets up, and they come back and open up just for you to get your cross out.
What do you make of that, Arthur? Why is it the case with the disparity between the churches and the pubs?
The thing is that I saw in my dad, the only time he got honest about himself was when he was drinking. Otherwise, he had it all together. But when he had a few, he'd get, you know, my life's messed up. And he'd really talk. I think that somehow there's been a flippant. There's been bad PR about Jesus. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the first chapter of Acts, and you find that sinners came to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard Jesus is coming down the street, the sinners came running. Prostitutes, sinner men. The Bible said he ate and drank with publicans and sinners.
Mm-hmm.
He was called a friend of publicans and sinners, a drunkard and a wine bibber. He was with the people. He went to Zacchaeus, the most corrupt businessman in town. He went to his house to eat. The religious leaders were picking and nitpicking at everything he did. He broke the Sabbath by eating corn on the Sabbath, by healing somebody on the Sabbath. And so Jesus was welcome because he had compassion and love, and he changed their lives. And today, the propaganda is, and it is so sad and heartbreaking, is that the cross is against me, that the church is condemning me. My lifestyle doesn't match up. My vocabulary is not right. God doesn't like me. If I was in the presence of Jesus, he'd probably hit me over the head with that cross. It's the sign of love. It is reinterpreting it, and that is really what I have done. I've gone through the Muslim world, And the cross has been the symbol of the Crusade Wars, and yet they'd accepted me. They said, what are you doing here with a cross? And I said, it's the sign that God left heaven to get down here on this earth and give you a new life. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He understands us. He was tempted in every point, but he never sinned. And I find that people know they've got problems. They need help out of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus can do. When we ask him a simple prayer, Jesus, come into my heart. It's best as I know how, I repent. Be my Savior. Cleanse me. I want to follow you. Show me your way. And instantly, inside, our life has changed. But it is the sign of love. And once you do that, people melt. Just the other day, a lady stopped her car in the street. And as I was doing a crosswalk here in Denver, where I live, and it was just in the community, and this lady kept following along, and I waved at her, and I said, God bless you, and she just looked stunned. And finally, I go over, and she pulls her car over, and she looks at me, and she said, what are you, on your way to an abortion clinic? Are you protesting gays? And I said, Jesus loves you. She was a reporter for the Denver Post. Her article is in the Denver Post. And she wrote an article. She said, I have good news for you. God loves me. So you've had an abortion. So you've had a divorce. So you've had this problem or that. God cares for you.
Yeah, and you've spent your life not just telling people about that, but showing that to them through this walking of the cross right around the world. Arthur, what an inspiration to talk to you. Thanks so much for your time, and I'm sure people are going to, you know, get so much more out of the film that recounts the whole story as well. Just God bless you and all your work and all of your further smaller walks to do from here on.
Hey, and thank you for having me. And I actively, 3.5 weeks ago, they put up a Facebook site for me. And I now have over 106,000 in 3 weeks.
Is that right?
And it is just going crazy, people making contact. So any of you, you know, us is want to catch me on Facebook, and my website of showing the cross in every nation is at blessit.com, BLESSITT.com. God bless you, and yeah. Thanks for having me.
It's good to talk to Arthur. Arthur Blessed there carried a 4-meter-long cross right around the world. Boy, we've only just touched on a few of those amazing stories and experiences he's actually had. And yeah, that movie, it's called The Cross. You'll be able to see it soon. Like I said, blessit.com for details.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.